Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I just met my future son-in-law for the first time during the news break. He's in the military. He's in Guam. He's an MP. So I have never had a chance to meet him yet until literally just now. Take my word, in this house, I am not the biggest hurdle. I'm the easiest hurdle. My wife might be the biggest hurdle. When I went upstairs, they were talking religion and politics. I came back down here to the cocoon of sports. Time now for the play-by-play call of the day here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The fullback in front of Jonathan Stewart. This time a pass. Tolbert's open in the flat. Extends the ball. Touchdown, Panthers!
Sean McDonough with the call last night, Monday Night Football. Mike Tolbert, former Pro Bowler, catching that touchdown pass from Cam Newton as Carolina beat the Redskins 26-16 last night, or 26-15. It took the Redskins from the number 6 seed to now the number 8 seed, and at the moment, Green Bay would be in the playoffs. So, yeah, that's interesting. By the way, coming up on the show, we're going to go open line this half hour. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we've got Dan Duggan's going to be on the show from NJ.com to talk about the Giants. We're also going to have on the show on Friday, Neil Coulong. Actually, Neil's going to be on Thursday. Sorry, Neil will be on Thursday. So Dan Duggan, NJ.com, about the Eagles-Giants matchup, which will come up on Thursday night. So Dan will be on the show tomorrow. Neil Coulong on Thursday's show. So tomorrow we've got Dan Duggan. We've got writer from the LA Times, the beat writer for USC football tomorrow, and Todd Blackledge. I can live with that. Can you live with that? Can you handle the truth, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle the truth?
Question is, your future son-in-law upstairs, can he handle the truth?
Well, he seemed to be a little upset I was leaving.
I got to thinking, maybe you should have gave him the tour of the Sunbury Motors studio before he went upstairs.
Why don't you come down and see how the radio thing works? Love to, Mr. Jones. This would be great. Megan says to me, she says, Dad, Mom's already said 3 different times, you shouldn't marry a guy who da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, oh, no. I said, Megan, it's Mom. So, if you could hang around him a little more, Dad, that'd be great. Again, I am, without question, the easy hurdle. I mean, like, I'm like... I'm no more than a speed bump. I mean, I'm a speed bump in the road of life.
Let me guess, the first question you asked, does he golf?
No. I just asked how he was doing, that's all. I just said, how are you doing? Because the poor guy had a 38-hour trip from Guam. Mm. He did not get here until 1:30 this morning. He was supposed to get here at 7:30 last night. He got held up in Dallas, poor guy. I fell off of him. But seems like a super, super young man. All I said to him was I hugged him and told him, I said, welcome to the family. It's great to have you here. I mean, really, can I be any easier? to deal with. I mean, man, if, you know, we'll see how he survives the next few days. He's not going to get any problem from me. I have very simple standards. Okay. How do my how do the in-law treat my children, and are my children happy? That's pretty much okay, my standard. If they treat them well and they're happy, I'm completely happy. Okay? I think it's a pretty simple standard. I'm a pretty simple guy. But and I better not say it too loud, because somebody else in my house may hear me talking about this and come downstairs.
Or catch it on the podcast later.
That's if they know the podcast exists.
No.
No, we don't do that. No. I'll go to mass, confess it later. All right. 800-795-9565. Nathan Davis, final half hour. Oh, the Leonard Fournette's been hurt, so I'm not really harping too much on his decision not to play in the bowl game. Now, you can to a point, but the McCaffrey thing, he's not hurt at all. He's just not going to do it. And you may have a different opinion than me. That's fine. You would get no argument from me on if your opinion is completely different. I understand that.
I'm just curious for McCaffrey, who inspired him to make that decision. It was a family member, or maybe it was a longtime friend or a coach, or
yeah. But you know what? What's interesting is that Bob Soci referenced Dave Logan. Well, Christian McCaffrey's father is Dave Logan's broadcast partner with the Broncos. You know that? So look, they made this decision as a family, obviously. And he knows the ins and outs. Now, the one thing I think they're going to have to check the temperature of in all of this, and this is going to be important, is how do the other people in the league treat this? Do they treat this as, because again, character comes into play, and so far in the course of his career, as you know, he has had exemplary character in his career. He hasn't no off-the-field issues or anything like that. None. But does this count against him in some quarters? Do some people in the league, will they look at him, I don't know, differently?
I just think with him, you know, he was always in the news for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons.
Right,
I think
yeah.
That's what really surprised me when I first heard the story when it came out a few days ago.
And this is something that is that the unintended consequence? Are there going to be some organizations that look at him and say, you know what? I mean, when it came time for when push came to shove, you opted for you over the team. And there are going to be some other organizations that go, hey, it's no big deal. And again, he'll have to go through an interview process. The Combine will have an interview process. Individual teams will have an interview process. I don't know. Again, this goes again. If I have a choice between McCaffrey and Pumphrey, unless McCaffrey really stands out to me they're very similar. Because Pumphrey's a really good receiver out of the backfield. Pumphrey's a very good running back in his own right. And to me, Pumphrey is very much like Darren Sproles. And I think Sproles has had a marvelous pro career. Really good. And I think what you're going to see is how do organizations look at this? Is it held against him by anybody, or is it embraced? Yeah, let's go to the other part. Is it embraced by organizations? Like, hey, you know, you did the right thing. You know, it's what the heck? You know, you made sure you're completely ready to play for us. And I think that's what prospects are going to look at, Sean, as to how this plays out. That they made the right business decision and that's embraced. Or you quit on your team, you didn't fulfill your commitment. That means, let's face it, that when your contract's up, you'll bag us too. It's going to depend on what opinion. Now, you only need one organization to say yes. Johnny Manziel, perfect example. It only took one organization to say yes to him, and he ends up being a first-round pick when nobody else thought he was a first-round pick. Now, most people think he grades out as a second. I've had a couple that have seen him like late first. Running backs are not a hot commodity in the NFL. Zeke Elliott has been the guy that's been the aberration in the last 5 years. Drafted high, panned out perfectly. I mean, really, what kind of years Derrick Henry had? Heisman Trophy winner with Tennessee. So,
you think in terms of running backs in the NFL, you've heard for a long time, you know, they hit the wall with 30. Is that still kind of true? I mean, you still hear that with folks that have connections with the league?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Sean.
I mean, just especially within the last year or so, since it's turned into a more pass-leaning league, pile up the points, draws more eyeballs than running the rock and draining the clock.
Let's go back to Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis had a short-lived but albeit extremely effective NFL career. I think everybody would agree with that. He didn't have a lot of carries at Georgia. And you wonder if he came into the league with better legs and a better shelf life because he wasn't belted apart in the college game. Right? Now, Elliott's obviously had no issue. Elliott's come right into the league and looks great, but again, it's only 1 year for him. And that's what, you know, and then all these guys are different. I'll give you a good example of somebody who's in a completely different category. I thought Trent Richardson would be a really good pro. Yeah, I saw him play against Penn State. Power, drive, pretty good hands as a receiver. But he never caught on and did much of anything in the NFL. Just didn't. And I don't know. NFL running backs, like look at LeGarrette Blount. You know, Bob just referenced the fact he had a 1,000-yard year. But who are the great running backs in the NFL right now? Where Adrian Peterson, okay, the only time he's been to the Super Bowl is when he's had to buy a ticket. I mean, Derrick Henry this year is averaging 4.5 yards a carry. That sounds good, right? And he scored 4 touchdowns. Eh. But he's only got 412 yards rushing in the year. That's it. That's what he's got. You know what his top out game is this year? 60 yards. That's his top out rushing game this year. 60 yards. It's just the way the league is now.
I'll admit the past month or so watching the Steelers games with putting Nicks in at fullback. It's like, what? We got a fullback in? We got an I formation in the backfield for the Steelers? What am I looking at here? Whoa.
Right. But Nicks is good.
Very good. Absolutely. I mean, no complaints for me.
Well, look at Tolbert. Tolbert last night, we just played the play-by-play cut of last night's game with the Redskins. Tolbert's Pro Bowl fullback in the course of his career. So, I mean, some teams still use a fullback sometimes, but there aren't many Le'Veon Bells in this league. There just aren't. Adai's done a great job with the Dolphins. Elliott, of course. I mean, the Giants essentially have no running game. I mean, where's the running game for the Eagles? Where's the running game for the Redskins? I mean, look at all these teams that you look at. What's the running game essentially for the Raiders?
How about the Packers?
I mean, the Packers, I mean, they took Ty Montgomery and made him, And again, what great running back in the last 20 years since Emmitt Smith has spearheaded his team to the NFL championship? Which one?
Well, I was waiting how you're going to formulate the question. For some reason, the first person I thought of was Chris Johnson, when he had the 2,000-yard season, but obviously they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Exactly. I'm talking about championship seasons built around a running back.
Yeah, I was just thinking huge year for a running back.
There are no championship seasons built around running backs. They're either built around quarterbacks or defense. I mean, last year, the Broncos won with a really good running game, but it was split among three guys. They're only a handful of dominant running backs in the league. Now, McCaffrey's going to fit in because McCaffrey can do a wide variety of things. That's why I think Pumphrey's going to fit in. He can do a wide variety of things. You know, tell me what big-time game Leonard Fournette played in where Leonard Fournette played a big-time game.
Wasn't which against, one? Not against Alabama.
Yeah, which one? Which game where you sat back and go, whoa, money on the table, look at the dude go. He did a lot of running against a lot of teams that aren't very good. And he's done very little of it against teams that are really good. I'm not a buyer on him. I haven't been a buyer on him. When I saw him play Alabama the first time and he did zilch, that's when I soured on him. And he hasn't had, to me, a big-time game against a big-time team since. I'm not a big buyer. McCaffrey, if I'm in the second or third round, because he can return punts and he has good hands, I can really spot him as a third-down guy initially. He's not going to be my primary guy. He's not going to be a primary back. Just like Pumphrey's not going to be a primary back. There's not going to be. They're going to be sub-package backs in this league. And that sub-package sometimes can come in on every down, on any down. Not every down. Any down. You can go with a sub-package. McCaffrey is going to be a sub-package back in the NFL, in my opinion. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Happy holidays from everyone at Penn's Tavern. It's time for gathering friends and family, and Penn's Tavern wants you to make them your setting for your holiday party. Historic Penn's Tavern, recently voted as the Daily Items 2016 Reader's Choice for Best Tavern, is waiting for you. Penn's Tavern has an ambiance that cannot be duplicated. The Sarah Room is the original structure of the tavern. Built circa 1700s, the Sarah Room has original stone walls and wooden floors for an unmatched old-world feel. The Wixted Room, overlooking the Susquehanna River, attaches to a more modern River Room pub. The River Room has 12 local microbreweries on tap. And just in time for the holidays, choose Penn's Tavern gift certificates for the perfect stocking stuffer. Purchase 5 gift certificates in the same amount and receive a gift certificate of the same value at no charge. Call to reserve your date and time for a memorable holiday gathering at 570-286-2007 or go to PennsTavern.com. Wishing you all the best, not only during the holidays, but the whole year through. From everyone at Penn's Tavern.
Odell Beckham Jr. and Le'Veon Bell have both spoken out about Ezekiel Elliott not being fined for jumping into the Salvation Army kettle. And they're both saying, hey, look, Bell and these guys, they'll do things they get fined for, their socks, their whatever. He jumps into the Salvation Army kettle. Hey, that's terrific.
And donations are up 61%.
I mean, how about that?
Yes. I think if he would have been fined, the NFL would have got more flack on that. Could be sports bozo material, but I think Jerry Jones would have scratched off that check with no problem.
I have no problem with that.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was cool. It was great. Yeah.
Guess what? The game is entertainment.
Yeah.
All right? This is not Armageddon. I saw Bruce Willis in that movie. I liked it.
I bet in the back of their minds, Beckham and Bell. Oh, if we could have only thought that, we could have only done it first.
Oh, they're all sitting there saying, darn, where's the kettle at our place? Steelers have a tough one on Sunday. It's on NFL Network. Sean has it. Come on over.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Almond's Wharf. Happy holidays from them to you. Why don't you show up, get yourself a car? Now that is a happy holiday in my book. Very pleased to bring in the head basketball coach at Bucknell, Nathan Davis. Nathan, welcome. Great to have you. Thanks for carving out some time in the show today.
Thanks, Steve. It's always a pleasure to be on with you all.
Same here. You pick up a win last night. What did you like about what you saw?
First thing I liked is having more points than them at the end of the game. That's the best part. That was the best part about it.
Nathan and I feel the same way. And final score 66-65. All good. Last night was 81-65.
It could have been 1-0, and at the end of the day, I'd have been okay with that. No one watching it might have liked that, but I'd have been okay with it.
you balanced it out, though. You had 40 in the first and 41 in the second. Was it a consistent effort? You're looking for consistency. Did you get that?
I thought we did a good job. The way Mount St. Mary's plays is just challenging because they do a lot of pressing that is hard to simulate if you don't do it all the time. And I thought we had opportunities to kind of push the lead and miss some layups and got kind of ahead of ourselves and had some careless turnovers and things like that that you tend to have in those games. But I thought our guys did a great job of sticking with it and making plays we needed to make. And like you said, we ended up pretty balanced. If we can score 81 points most games, we're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. How have you felt about we talk about possessions and points per possession. How have you felt about your points per possession so far?
It's been pretty good. We're over a point per possession right now. I think it could be better. I think if we can take a little bit better shots or a little more ready to shoot when the opportunity provides itself, and I think as we play more, we'll turn the ball over less. Our turnovers are up a little higher than I'd like them to be, but some of that comes with new guys playing and getting used to each other. So I like where it is. I understand there's a lot of room to improve and looking forward to getting back at it and trying to get better at those things.
I mean, last night you had 54 field goal attempts. You ended up with 81 points. You shot 54% last night. How'd you feel about ball movement and quality of shot?
What they do, it's hard.
Yeah.
Just because of the way they press. There's not as much passing as I would like at times going on because you really have to attack the basket and they force you to do those things. I thought for the most part we took pretty good shots. the stretch we had in the second half, we didn't play as well and had some turnovers and misses. I thought we stopped moving the ball a little bit and started doing what they wanted to do and taking off. And we even with that, we weren't getting terrible shots, but we could have done better with some reversal and could have got Nana and sophomore involved if we'd not settled quite as much.
They were 10 for 33 last night in two-point shots. How did you feel about your defense inside the arc?
I thought it was good because, for the most part, I mean, they did have some times they got to the rim, but when they were getting to the rim, Nana and those guys were there to make them hard, and those can be hard shots. But I thought we made them take some tough pull-ups. I thought we did an adequate job guarding the three-point line. There were a couple times where their best shooters, we didn't get out to it, but we did do a good job of when they tried to get to the rim of making sure to just not to give them up and making them try to finish over guys.
When I look at a box score and I see 17 assists on 29 baskets, I usually think that's a plus. The other thing I look at, I know you talked about the turnovers being high, 17, and that is. But you had 9 blocks, 9 steals. That's 18 to 17. I've always feel when you have more blocks and steals to turnovers, that's usually a big plus. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think blocks and steals are certainly important. I always look at turnovers more less than the number and more the percentage you have among your possessions. You can turn it over. If you play a game that's really slow and there's 50 possessions and you turn it over 15 times or 10 times, or you say you turn it over 10 or 12 times, people think that's okay. It's really kind of high.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If you have a 100 possession game and turn it over 15 times, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So we look at it more on percentage of possessions, and we turned it over about 19% of our possessions yesterday. We'd like it to be 15, which is stretching. It's hard to do. But I think we could have done a little bit better with that.
Yeah, but that's why you set goals. I mean, you want to set goals that are realistic, but also if you achieve it, it is important when you do.
Correct. Correct.
Last night you led the game for 35-43. The importance of playing with the lead and how your players handled playing with the lead.
Well, I think it's always, at least for the coach, it's always more stressful every time you come down and you're not fighting to catch them. I think it's, and for players it's the same thing too. I don't think it's nice if you're not always fighting to catch up, and can play from the lead and play with poise and things like that. I think it's good. But at the same time, I think one of the things I really like about this team so far is that when we have gotten down, even last time when we did let them catch us and go up one, we didn't panic. It wasn't like it was the end of the world. We just kind of kept playing. I thought we made a little bit better decision. We focused, made our free throws, and got the stops that were necessary. So we showed a lot of things that you need to do to be good.
Yeah, but 9-10 days ago, I saw Villanova play in person. I saw them against Notre Dame. It's the first thing that strikes you about them, Coach, even behind. Villanova never panics. It's like everything is just cool and copacetic with them the entire time. Now, a national championship team usually feels that way, but...
Right. But, you know, that's what good teams do. There's always talk about it with our guys all the time. Every season there's adversity. Every game there's adversity. In life there's adversity. And how you handle those situations are going to determine how successful you are. We're going to give up runs. Guys are going to make shots. We're going to miss some shots. We're going to have a few turnovers here and there. And there's going to be situations where you're down 2, you're down 3, you're down 8. And how do you respond to that? Do you panic? Or are you willing to keep grinding it out and doing and trying to do what you do better to get back in it? And like I said, that's one of the things I've been happy with this year is we've really, I think, done that to this point.
When you look at playing defense and even playing offense, usually a player is on the floor, most of them, 95% of the time, they don't have the ball in their hands. So how well has your team played this year without the ball?
Well, I think that's one of the things our guys really embraced. I think that they understand that it's a team game, and there's nights it's going to be your night to score, there's nights it's going to be someone else's night to score. But they've been all about sharing the ball. They've been all about picking each other up, not letting each other down on the defensive end to be there for each other, and that's why we've gotten the 8 wins so far. I mean, you look at last night, we have 4 guys in double figures. We have another guy with 8 who only played 7 minutes, just with the way the game worked. So. And it's been consistent. We've had multiple guys lead the team in scoring. We've had usually Stephen Brown, but
Zach
has stepped up and led in assists. But we had, I think, again, one of my most proud moments of the year so far. We played Richmond at home. We have 13 assists on 13 baskets in the first half. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That means we're taking
really
good shots. We're being unselfish. And as long as we do those things, we're going to be in good shape because we got a lot of guys who can score. And if people aren't looking for their own and are willing to share and take what's given to them, we've got a chance to score points.
Are you getting enough out of your bench right now, and how smart have your role players been?
Well, I think it's a thing with one of the things with our guys this year, the younger guys, I'm pleased with where they are, is that they haven't played a lot. And you even look at, we were looking at talking about before our game yesterday, even with Zach Thomas and Donna Fallon, Stephen Brown, outside of those guys, there haven't been DJ some, I guess Johnny has an arm or something. The other guys haven't been asked to play a lot of really clutch, meaningful minutes through their careers so far. So this is kind of their first taste of it. And so getting the opportunity to play against good people is certainly helping them, and I think it's going to help us going forward. But I think we're in a good pace. Like, you look at our bench last night, and we have 18 points off the bench, 20 points off the bench, 25% of your points off the bench. So that's not bad. That's not bad.
No, that works really well.
Right, they're doing a good job of rebounding. They're doing a solid job defending. Still, there's some young mistakes we make out there, but they're getting there. They're getting there. So I think that they're going to continue to get better and better and better as the year moves on. And to their detriment, we've played a tough schedule. So there's times where it's harder to get them a continuous run because you don't have much leeway. And the more you play, the more you've been around, the more kind of, I talk about this, every day you go out and play the game, you put cookies in the jar. And the more you play it, the more cookies are in the jar. So when you make a mistake and you throw one out, there's still more left, and they haven't had that opportunity to put as many cookies in the jar. I think they're getting it now. I think I'm doing personally a better job of getting some of those guys more time throughout the game. So they are improving.
Princeton will be next. I think they have Monmouth tonight, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
Yeah. When you look at Princeton, and we've talked about the Princeton style, and they've certainly modified it over time, how tough, though, is that to get ready for in a short turnaround like you're going to have?
Well, I think more than the style of play, it's the fact that Princeton has really good players. It bothers me.
Yeah. You'd be amazed what talent does. Talent's amazing what it does.
They could be running the flex, and I'd be looking at it and going, man, that guy's a problem, that guy's a problem, that guy's a problem. But what they do, and honestly, Mitch Henderson, the coach there, and if you look at even John Thompson III and Chris Mooney and those guys, Sidney Johnson, the more the new generation of Princeton guys, play with more pace than the older guys do, like the Bill Carmers at Holy Cross, where they slow it down more. And there's not as much, there's still some of the same concepts, but there's not as much of the same flow where it's for like they you call it point over, point away, drift. These things, they just kind of run over and over and over again until you fall asleep. They still have some of those things in them, but it's not like you're going to have to guard at that particular thing for 35, 40 seconds in a row. They're looking to score. They're much more aggressive. They do a really good job of spreading up, but they do attack the basket. It still comes down to with all those teams that you've got to defend the three-point line. If you give up set threes, you're dead. You got to run them off the line. You got to make them score off the bounce and those type of things.
All right, and you know what? They're only giving up 34% per game field goal percentage.
Good.
How good is their how good has that defense been for them?
It's good. Now what they are is like they have good size. They're long. They do a good job of closing out to guys on the perimeter and moving their feet to try to keep them in front. But I think like anything, if you can, for us the big thing is to be to not bail them out. We've got to make them guard. And it might take us, again, 6 seconds to get the shot we want. But it's okay if it takes us 29 seconds to get the shot that we want, as long as we don't settle. And work with each other, make smart plays. We'll get good shots, and it's a matter of knocking them down.
How important is this as a tone setter now as you get ready for the Patriot?
Well, I mean, you want to win every game, and this is a great opportunity for us to beat a good team at home. But at the same time, we were through it a year ago. We went and came out of Christmas and lost a game to go to 3-8 non-conference, came back and went 14-4 in the league.
Right,
so,
exactly,
it's about how much better you're getting going forward. I think we're in a good place. I think we've got a good team now. It's not good enough yet, though. Make no mistake about it, to do what we want to do. And there's a number of areas we got to get better at. We're going to throw everything we can out to win this game on Thursday night, and I think we got a great chance to win, but it's going to have little impact on whether we beat Navy in our first league game about a week later.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Every game's a game unto itself. That's okay, because I go back to when Pete Carrill coached them.
He still goes to their games.
Oh, you know, we always refer to him as Yoda.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one.
We refer to him as Yoda. And I remember when Chris Young played for them when Bill Carmody was the coach, and now Chris is a pitcher in the major leagues. And you're right.
Right.
Same play over and over and over and over. Man, with that, I'll leave.
That's your discipline.
Oh, they do. Good luck on Thursday night to you and that great family of yours. From us to you, happy holidays. Thank you so much for everything and being with us all the time.
You too. Right back. Enjoy your holiday.
Thank you, Nathan. Good luck.
All right, take care.
All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Smoking Damn Choir. Great to have them on board with us. Great group. Love them. Come into the studio every day and do that stuff. Amazing. And they do it really for low wages. All right. Oh, stop laughing, Sean. So, guess who I talked with today?
The suit.
What, are you partially insane? What? Sarah Bartlett.
Wonderful.
Sarah's out in San Diego, and I was on her station in San Diego today.
Oh, News Radio 600 Kogo.
Yes, I was on with them today as a guest to preview the Rose Bowl. It was, you know, I texted back and forth with Sarah, emailed back and forth, and then talked to her today, and then I did the show. And so she wanted me to say hi to everybody. Wanted to say how much she missed the valley, that she was going to the beach. No, I'm just kidding. And then I was talking to the two hosts and the producer, and they said, "Hey, you know Sarah, do you? Oh, what a firebrand! Oh man, boy, she she is so tough to work with. I mean, really." I said, "Oh, I know. I mean, really, all of us are like, oh, it's like, you know, the mini steamroller." They're all laughing because she's the nicest person on the planet. So everybody's laughing because, you know, she's so nice. Like, oh my God, she's just the nice. I know. Believe me, we know.
We may have to get back in touch with her and have her make another return appearance on the show, depending on what's going on with the Chargers.
Yeah, that's it's interesting that Dean Spanos, if they were able to get 50% of the vote, now they needed 67% to pass the initiative, which everybody knew they weren't going to get close to. But he said if they got 50% plus, he would keep the team in San Diego. Now, he said this in the aftermath, by the way. And they ended up getting 43%. And he said that's influencing how he feels about the L.A. thing. When I look at the Coliseum, now remember, the Rams have only been back this year. This is not the third year the Rams have been back and they're not playing well. And so everybody's getting a little bored with the act. Right, this is their first year back, and one third of the Coliseum was empty against Atlanta. I mean, do you really think the Chargers are going to go in there and energize Los Angeles and take it to new and greater heights? Essentially, what they are the Clippers. Except the difference, I mean, the Clippers for years were a complete afterthought to the Lakers. That's a Laker town. Now, the Clippers, to their credit, have become the better team. Thus, they've merited more interest. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan and so forth. I mean, they've become the better team. That's where they've brought more interest in. But that is still a Laker town. The second the Lakers get good, the Clippers, no matter how well they're playing, are going to get downgraded. That's going to be the Chargers in that town. No matter what happens, the Rams own that town. And if the Rams have any semblance of success, they'll own the publicity and own the fans. Now, Qualcomm Stadium, I don't know, have you ever been there?
No.
Okay. Believe me, it needs to be replaced. I mean, they do have to do something and take it into the modern era of something. I mean, the San Diego fans deserve like some semblance of comfort. They can't work this thing out. Now, he has options. He can say that he can delay the decision to move and put it on the 2018 ballot and take one-year options to play a Qualcomm and try it again under a modified proposal where I know they've talked about lowering. I mean, he's had some productive conversations with Kevin Falconer, the mayor of San Diego, Dean Spanos has. And Roger Goodell has also talked with Kevin Falconer, the mayor of San Diego. But right now, the lean is L.A., it seems. It just hasn't played out right on either end. And the Chargers are coming off heavy-handed, even though they might not be. The city has been seen as stubborn when maybe they haven't been. But it hasn't played out right on either side.
Well, you would think once that new stadium is built, Stan Kroenke would want that as a place for his own team. And if that's not the case, how much rent will he charge?
Well, Kroenke already has a lease agreement in place with the Chargers. That's done. I mean, that actually is done. I mean, so they've actually worked out a lease agreement already if he wants to go there. So that's not really that's a really good question and a really good point, Sean. But it turns out that I guess they took care of that provision already because they didn't know what the Chargers were going to do last year. Now, the key is, now the one thing that would happen is if the Chargers, I think if they put a letter to explore, that would be enough to keep the Raiders out. But a letter to explore doesn't mean they're going either. But if they put a letter in to explore, it would keep the Raiders from going to Los Angeles. And this is the National Football League. This is the money tree of sports. Now, we're not going to talk about the Chargers tomorrow, but we will have a writer on tomorrow from the Los Angeles Times, because he's the beat writer for USC football. Ty Blackledge on the show tomorrow. So we got a lot going on. We always have a lot going on in this show. By the way, the letters that have poured in about the suit's appearance.
Mm-hmm.
This woman in Danville wrote, "Thanks for getting him out of the house."
He'll be out of the house tonight calling Danville Shikellamy Hoops. Ironically enough, not too far from his house.
There was a youngster that wrote in as well. Thanks for getting him out of the house.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.